Senate File 60 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to the Deferred Compensation Plan, providing for automatic enrollment in the plan for persons employed by the state of Wyoming after a specified date, providing for participation by other entities in automatic enrollment in the plan, providing for opt-out and withdrawal from the plan, providing for a standard employee contribution rate, providing authority in the Wyoming retirement system to enroll employees in the investment plans, amending definition, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 60, Deferred Compensation Plan, Automatic Enrollment, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Representative Nicholas.
Privilege of the floor.
Privilege of the floor is granted.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have up in the gallery, up on my right, the Boys and Girls Club Wyoming Alliance. Is that correct? Am I looking in the right place? You bet. These are the finalists for the Wyoming's Youth of the Year, representing 10,000 young people from the state of Wyoming. There were five finalists, and we have three of them with us, and I'd like to read their names out. We've got Danny Villalobos, Darnell Wheeler, and Sergio Lemuse. I think I pronounced that right. And the two who are not here are Robert Bleek and Kyla Christensen. Danny's from Casper, Darnell's from Cheyenne, and Sergio's from Sweetwater County. So give them a round of applause, please. And also, we have junior participating youth of the year. And so these are the younger folks. We have Katie Chapman from Carbon County, Jasmine James from Park County, and Ethan Smith from Cheyenne. Raise your hand.
Welcome to the House. Any other privileges of the floor? Seeing none, we'll get back to Senate File 60. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report to do so with a recommendation that Senate File 60 do pass, there are no amendments, and I'd like to turn this bill over to the floor managers, to our good Representative Burkhardt, who is also our liaison to the retirement board. So if I could turn it over to him. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What we have here is Senate File 60, Deferred Compensation Plan, Automatic Enrollment. Now, I think most of you understand and are familiar with the fact that the retirement plan is kind of a three-legged stool. You have the state pension plan, you have Social Security, and then you also have a 457 plan, which is the state's equivalent of a 401k. And looking at that plan is intended to help employees save for their own retirement in a manner that's easy on them through payroll deductions. And a number of state employees already do that. The state matches, by the way, the first $20. And over time, we can probably talk about changing that match a little bit. But what this bill does is provides that when an employee starts working for the state, they are automatically enrolled in the 457 plan. They do not need to do anything. And what they found over time is that people who are automatically enrolled in these plans stay in the plan. They rarely opt out. So instead of having to opt in, this just automatically enrolls them, and an employee of the state has to opt out if they do not want to participate in this plan. This plan allows them to set aside that $20 that the state matches and also 3% of their pay, which over time can really add up. And the idea being that with that, they can fund their own cost of living increases in the future. They can provide a better retirement for themselves. And I think put this kind of in perspective for those of us in here who are retired. I don't know any of us who say, well, we wish we would have saved less. I don't know anybody who's putting away for retirement who thinks, well, gee, I plan on putting away less for retirement than I am now. This helps the state employees do that. It comes out of their paycheck. They don't even miss it. And after a while, you get used to that withdrawal, and you don't pay any attention to it. And over time, it actually adds up. When you look at compound interest, even Albert Einstein said that compound interest was one of man's greatest inventions, as long as it's working in your favor, which this does. So with that, I'll just take you quickly through the bill. Sets up automatic enrollment for employees hired after July 1st, 2015, and they become automatically enrolled, and that's only new employees. There's a period at which they can opt out with no penalty or anything else, and it begins 30 days after they enroll in the plan. So if they opt out and they have 90 days in which to do that, they get their money back. And this is all controlled by IRS regulations. And generally, people don't opt out once they're in the plan. As I said, they can contribute 3% in pre-tax compensation. And they, if they have to elect in writing to change that contribution. It goes into what's called an age-appropriate investment plan. And I think some of you are familiar with those. You buy a lot of places call them target dates, and the date you wish to retire, you pick that date, and the plan automatically takes care of things up until that date, and as you get closer to the date, it goes to more conservative investment options. But the employee has the opportunity to change. If they want to go more aggressive when they're younger, they can do that. The board still controls it. Wyoming Retirement System controls the investments as it does anything else. And that's pretty much the plan. Also, a county, city, town, or other political subdivision that wishes to do this, they can also do it, and it's pretty much an all-in or all-out approach by those communities. And would also include university in there. And with that, I will stand for questions.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I fully support this bill, and I'll tell you why, and I don't think the sponsor really hit on it, or hope I'm not duplicating what he said. But here's the deal, especially why it's so important for the Wyoming retirement system as a complement, because we have a plan that does not have designed into it or built into it what we call an improvement factor. You know, in Wyoming, the only place I've ever heard of this, they call it a COLA. But it's, what we're talking about here is that the retirement has an automatic way of improving itself through time. And a lot of defined benefit programs have that built into them through their funding. For whatever reason, back in 2002, I think it was, this legislature increased the retirement ratio to an untenable, or, you know, I should say a beginning retirement that was so high that it precluded any improvement factor. So what have we got for the last 15 years? We have people coming in, or at least the last 10 years that I know of, people coming in and say, you know, this money that I was making just isn't going far enough now. So what this plan does, you can design this plan as a retirement plan to take care of the improvement that would have otherwise been available in this plan. And we get people that, you know, there's really nothing you can do about it. They've been retired for 20 years, and they thought they were making big money or good enough money when they retired. So they did retire, and all of a sudden their paycheck or their retirement check, although it stays the same dollar amount, doesn't go as far as it did before. So that's why it's so important that we do everything we can to encourage members of or our employees to get into a way of protecting themselves against inflation and the loss of the purchasing power of their retirement check. So please support this.
Any further debate on Senate File 60? Seeing none in question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House or that Senate File 60 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 60 is passed the Committee of the Whole. And members of the 63rd, if I could just take a quick privilege of the floor. It's not very often you get people down here from the best part of Wyoming, Park County, but I've got I've got three great constituents. They're here for the Realtors event tonight. We've got Sandy Shear, Jake Ivanoff, and Matt Hall. So if you could welcome them to the House. They have two number ones on their license plate. All right. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 25. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 25 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to prioritization of municipal solid waste facilities cease and transfer projects, authorizing expenditure of previously appropriated funds, establishing a prioritized list of projects, establishing a maximum amount to be expended on the projects listed, authorizing the Department of Environmental Quality limited discretionary authority to modify the prioritized list, providing definitions, repealing a prior list of priority cease and transfer projects, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 25 engrossed, cease and transfer priority list, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Somers, and Walters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Vice Chairman Kasperic.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 25 do pass. There are no amendments, and I will turn the discussion of the bill over to the good representative from across the state.
Representative Somers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the 63rd, I bring you more trash talk. Earlier, we passed a priority list for the landfill remediation projects. The 2014 budget bill mandated a priority list for the cease and transfer program. This is that bill, and that's pretty much the explanation. I'll walk you through the bill quickly. You'll see on page 1, section 1, we go into some definitions. That extends down to section, subsection B, starts the priority list, which begins on page 3. And it flips over basically till the end, and that's pretty much it.
Is there further debate on Senate File 25? Seeing none in the question being called, all those in favor of Vice Chairman Kasperic's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 25 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 25 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 6. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 6 from Senator Burns, an act relating to aquatic invasive species, amending rulemaking authority, amending requirements for collection and evidence of inspection fees, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 6, Aquatic Invasive Species, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Klim, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Petroff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 6 do pass, and I turn the explanation of the bill over to Representative Freeman.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is a combination of cleanup and public service. If you look on the front page of the on the first page, you'll see that the Department of State's State Parks and Cultural Resources shall collect fees. Basically, the park department and cultural resources never did collect those fees, so they took that out of the statute. If you go on to page 2, that is done again. And so that was the cleanup portion of it. Now, the second part of what this bill does is we have people that come to our state with their boats to do fishing. And we have an aquatic species program to where we're trying to keep all sorts of strange animals out of our waterways. So what happens is to put your boat on the waterways in the state, you are, until this bill, supposed to have a sticker on the bow of your boat. So here's the scenario. You're sitting in a state south of us or west of us, and you've decided that you're going to come to a blue ribbon lake and go fishing. So you get on the internet and you send in your application and your fee, and what happens is it takes about 10 days to process, and it takes about 3 days to mail to you. And you're way past when you are going to show up for your vacation. So what this bill does is it allows you to have electronic receipt. And you can be approached by law enforcement. They can say, we don't see a sticker on your boat, so you can get your smartphone out, you can go, and they can see that you have paid your fee. The other thing that happens is if you are at your home, you get the receipt, you can print out that receipt, and that receipt, both on your phone or in your hand, will allow you to come to the state and to enjoy our recreation. So this is a cleanup to where that we took out the people who are not collecting the money out of the bill. And then the second thing is to allow our law enforcement to allow visitors to our lakes. And if there's no questions, I would call for the question.
Further debate on Senate File 6. Seeing none in the question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Petroff's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 6 do pass, please signify by saying aye. All opposed, no. Senate File 6 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 34. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 34, the Minerals Committee, an act relating to mines and mining, adopting the Interstate Mining Compact, providing for the state of Wyoming to become a full member of the Interstate Mining Compact Commission, providing for applicability, authorizing the governor to appoint a designee to the commission, repealing prior authorizing statutes, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 34 engrossed Interstate Mining Compact Commission membership, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, and Walters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 34 do pass, and turn the explanation over to the good representative from the county that has one in its license plate and it's one in your hearts.
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 34 allows us full membership status in the Interstate Mining Compact. If you have your bills with you, I'll briefly explain some of the higher features of it. Let's turn right over to page 3, little Romanette 3. One of the first benefits, measures for the reduction of the adverse effects of mining for the land. If we join this compact with the other states, This is what we'll find. Measures for the reduction of adverse effects of mining on land, water, and other resources may be costly, and devising means to deal with them are of both public and private concern. If we drop down to Romanet 5, I'll direct you to line 20 where it says, mining shall be conducted in accordance with sound conservation principles. Turning the page, over to page 4. The purposes of this compact are to the Romanet 1, advance the protection and restoration of land, water, and other resources affected by mining. Romanet 2, assist in the reduction or elimination of counteracting of pollution or deterioration of land, water, and air attributable to mining. Romanet 3, encourage with due recognition of relevant regional, physical, and other differences programs in each of the party states which will achieve comparable results in protecting, conserving, and improving the usefulness of natural resources to the end that the most desirable conduct of mining and related operations may be universally facilitated. Over here on page 5, we have definitions, which are pretty much boilerplate, so I'm going to skip over that, and we don't need to just grind away at what the definition of mining is. Over on page 6, Article 3, State Programs, on line 13, I want to direct your attention to conservation and use of mined land. Down under Romanet 1, the protection of public land and the protection of adjoining and other landowners from damage to their lands and the structures and other property thereon. On the next page, under Article 4, Powers, Romanet 1, we have study mining operations as a duty of the compact. On the next page, page 8, Romanet 2, study the conservation, adaptation, improvement, and restoration of land. And under Romanet 3, make recommendations. On the next page, page 9, under Article 5, the Commission, there is hereby created an agency of the party states to be known as the, quote, Interstate Mining Commission. Over on page 10, the commissioners shall be entitled to one vote each on the commission. So we as a member state would be one voting member. On the next page, page 11, under D as in Delta, the commission shall elect annually from among its members a chairman, a vice chairman, and a treasurer. Skipping right along, over on page 14, Article 6, Advisory, Technical, and Regional Committees. The commission shall establish such advisory, technical, and regional committees as it may deem necessary. Article 7, Finance. The commission shall submit to the governor or designated officer or officers of each party state a budget of its estimated expenditures. Page 16, under item C as in Charlie, the commission shall not pledge the credit of any party state, which puts all our minds at ease, I'm sure. On page 17, Article 8, entry into force and withdrawal. This compact shall enter into force when enacted into law by any four or more states. Thereafter, this compact shall become effective as to any other state upon its enactment thereof. Obviously written by a lawyer. On the next page, page 18, Article 9, effect on other laws. Nothing in this compact shall be construed to limit, repeal, or supersede any law of any party state. Under Article 10, on line 22, the provisions of this compact shall be severable. on the next page, page 19, right at the top, we have I messed up there. Let me back up to page 18 down there. Shall be severable if any phrase, clause, sentence, or provision of this compact is declared to be contrary to the Constitution of any state. So we can't violate our own state's constitution being a member of this pact. Farther down on the same page, page 19, line 15, under subsection A, subject to statute 34106, State of Wyoming hereby joins the Interstate Mining Compact Commission. Down under section B, as in Bravo, the governor may, very important word, may appoint a designee to serve as the governor's official representative to the compact. On the next page, page 20, applicability under section A as in alpha, no provisions of the Interstate Mining Compact nor any policies of the Interstate Mining Compact Commission shall be construed to limit, repeal, or supersede any law of the state of Wyoming. Under section B, Bravo, the governor and the legislature or agents of either shall have the right to inspect the books and accounts of the Interstate Mining Compact Commission at any reasonable time while the state is a member. Page 21 at the top under section D as in Delta, the state of Wyoming shall not be liable for the obligations or solvency of Romanet 1, the retirement system described in article of this compact, and Romanet 2, a program of employee benefits. So we're not liable as a member of that. And saving the best for last on page 22, section 2, statutes 34101 and 34102 are repealed. So we're taking two off the books. And that, Mr. Chairman, is the bill in a nutshell.
Further discussion on Senate File 34. Vice Chairman Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks, and just in a nutshell, we've been an associate member of this compact for a number of years, and this language in the bill is the compact language that has to be adopted in order for us to be a voting member. And so that's why the language is as complete as it is. We pay for the DEQ pays for the dues of this out of fees that they get from the mining companies, and this now will allow us to be a voting member of the compact.
Representative Summer? Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Greer, you were there first.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want to make one other point. If you look in our green book here, we've already authorized this. This is nothing new. We've already authorized the governor to enter into this compact on behalf of the state of Wyoming. We've been an associate member now, and our fees keep ratcheting up to the point where we're now paying the same fees as a voting member. And so it only makes sense, if we're not saving any money on our fees, that we just will have the right to vote. And so what will now be laid out is this whole compact in statute. But I just want you to know, long ago, we already authorized us to be in this. This is nothing new other than we get to vote moving forward.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And just understand that this doesn't circumvent any laws of the state of Wyoming or any future laws of the state of Wyoming. So that's clearly in the compact. There's 22 full member states. Three have recently become full members. There's four associate members, and I can't really name them, I guess, but that's kind of the list.
Any further discussion on Senate File 34? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back to one of the previous speakers indicated that we're an associate member and this we're paying fees equivalent to a full member. I guess my question is what are those fees? Looking at what this reads based on economic value, I could see Wyoming paying a disproportionate amount of this, and I'm just curious what the fees are and what we get for it.
Vice Chairman Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, but it sticks in my mind from the discussion we had in committee that those fees are now around $45,000 a year.
any further discussion on Senate File 34? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 34 do pass, please signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no. Senate File 34 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like the privilege of the floor, if I could.
Please proceed.
Thank you. In our South Gallery are some of the leaders of a leadership organization called National Outdoor Leadership School, Knowles, in Lander. And they're here for the 50th anniversary of the formation of that school. And just FYI, sorry about that, but my dad and Bobby Nicholas's dad helped get that started. I really apologize. But anyway, in the South Gallery are John Gans, Pip Coe, Aaron Bannon, Rich Brain, and Amy Rathke. Thank you.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 63. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 63 from Senator Anderson, an act relating to predatory animals, prohibiting ownership of a predator without a permit, providing a definition, providing rulemaking authority, providing a penalty, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 63, Engrossed Predator Ownership, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendment. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Klim, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 63 do pass. I further move the committee, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, and I turn the explanation of both over to Representative Barlow.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, bring you Senate File 63. I think I'd like ask you to turn your attention to the sponsored by. You'll see that there's a particular, two of the three sponsors have a particular occupation in this state, and that's actually one of the reasons that my name is on this bill, because they thought I might have some interest in it because of that. So the second part is probably we should dispense of the Standing Committee Amendment, because some of you have probably got some emails of concern regarding what we were going to do with all those domestic cats in the state who somehow are wayward, stray cats. So, ladies and gentlemen, on page 2, line 7, that predatory animal definition that comes out of Game and Fish statute for that agency referred to coyote, jackrabbit, porcupine, raccoon, red fox, skunk, or stray cat. Ladies and gentlemen, you will note from the Standing Committee Amendment, the stray cats are safe. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, with mixed emotions from some, I would ask that we dispense with the Standing Committee Amendment, and I'll get to the bill.
Any debate on the Standing Committee Amendment? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one question on the Standing Committee Amendment, and I looked in the statute. It's not in there either. Any particular reason to exclude prairie dogs?
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, the species that was just mentioned was not part of the definition in 23.1-101. It's actually dealt with in a different part of statute, under a pest and a different part of statute, so that wasn't brought in the original bill. We can go back and add things in, ladies and gentlemen, but I think when we get to the meat or the heart of the bill, you'll understand probably what this is about. That doesn't mean that that's not a good point, and I'd certainly be willing to consider that for an amendment later on. So any other questions on the standing committee amendment?
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am wondering about, there are several people in my community that do have pet raccoons, and so I was wondering, does that truly belong here, or should we exclude them as well? I'd just like to hear the reasoning, because I'm going to have to explain this.
Representative Barlow.
We're going to have a lot of explaining to do. I think that a case could be made for every one of these species in some respect. What the drafters of the bill did, and they are not in this body, was they wanted to encompass something that was currently in statute, predatory animal. That predatory animal comes from two statutes, actually. It's first discussed in the wildlife section statutes, and then that is transferred into that department which deals with agriculture. And what actually happens is much of the wildlife is dealt with in Title 23. Title 23 deals with the big game, the trophy game, the predator game, the predaceous, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then some of that, for this particular group of animals, that authority over them is actually transferred to another agency, one that deals with agriculture, and they deal with it because they have animal damage monies and predatory board type functions or oversight. So that's why that is transferred over. We can get to why those other species are in there. I think let's dispense with the domestic species first, and then we can work on dispensing with all the rest of them if that's what you choose.
Any further discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1? Question being called. All those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill. Representative Barlow.
There are a particular group of people throughout the state who are particularly pleased in our actions there alone. So, ladies and gentlemen, what this bill, it really is, it's a public health bill. And that's what it's being brought to you about. And we can have a discussion about the different species that are in there. But the number one issue that I'm bringing to you, and we can go through the numbers and the species, is rabies control. That's what my profession deals with when we have animals, especially wildlife species, and they're acting out of character, and they are brought to us either intact or not intact, and we're asked to, okay, speaking of one of them's in the house, sorry, it's already been skinned, over in the far corner. So that's what this is about. It's about keeping the community safe when we have this infectious disease, which with very few exceptions, ladies and gentlemen, is 100% fatal and is 100% transmittable to all mammalian species. All mammalian species. All warm-blooded, vertebrate animals. That's the bottom line. So this bill comes out of a community that has a significant issue with this disease, rabies. I have the letters from the from a couple of practitioners actually have dealt with it, and we can certainly talk about why they think some of these species are in there. Now we can get, let's talk a little bit about the species that are included. I think that was one of the questions. Number one and number two in the United States for wildlife species transmitting the rhabdovirus, rabies virus, is skunks and raccoons. Now in our state it has to be skunks, and the southeast part of the state has a considerable amount of this. Folks that live in the southeast part of the state probably hear about it. Now it's not transmitted very often to domestic species, and quite honestly a lot of times nobody ever reports it. You just take care of the problem at home because you don't want to deal with some of the issues. How many have been through the preventive or the treatment series for this disease? Anybody in the room? There's one. I've been through the preventive thing myself because of my profession. And so it's a real deal if you're exposed to this. So ladies and gentlemen, let's just go through the bill. And actually an interesting thing about this bill is it actually allows you to possess something that I would argue under other statutes in Wyoming you cannot possess because it's considered wildlife. Expressly prohibited in statute currently is the ownership possession of one of the largest predators we have in this state, and that would be the wolf. that is expressly prohibited in statute elsewhere. Also, trophy game and big game are expressly prohibited from private ownership. There's one exception to that, and that was a herd of elk in the very northeast or in the very northern border of Wyoming that predated the prohibition on private ownership. And there may be a couple other little caveats in there. So this bill actually doesn't say you can't own them or possess them. It just says that if you do so, there has to be there's a permit process, and it's placed under the Department of Agriculture because of probably some agricultural issues, pest issues, control issues, and quite honestly, maybe our division that deals with wildlife in a broader sense didn't want it very, very bad. Excuse me. Now, the only reason that you can't maybe possess one of these animals or own it is if there is a public health or safety threat. What is the public health and safety threat? If you take this captive animal and you take it to display it at the local fair, rodeo, petting zoo, etc., folks, that is placing somebody, the public at large, at risk. And that has actually occurred, and parts of communities have gone through at least some anxious times, if not some actually going through the prophylactic treatment for the rhabdovirus based on that in Wyoming in the last several years. So that's what the bill is about. So let's talk about the specific species. I think coyote sounds fairly obvious. Jackrabbit and porcupine, I think you could make the argument that those are both herbivores, and thus we probably, maybe they don't need to be here. Raccoon certainly is a reservoir and a vector, if you will. Some of the animal transmits it. Red fox, skunk, similarly. The other thing I'd like to point out about the, so we got a public health issue. Then we also have another issue that actually came up during the committee hearing on this. We also have the fact that we spend millions of dollars controlling a couple of these, the coyote being one of them. So, and I know, and you know probably, folks that actually have these animals and propagate them in some way. Now, maybe it's for some purpose that does not allow them back in the wild, but if they're allowed back in the wild, folks, that's when our millions of dollars of investment, both as individuals, livestock producers, pay an assessment for every head of animal that they market to control predators, and the state puts in about $6 million itself to predator control in this state. So all told, we're spending millions of dollars controlling a couple of these predator species. So with that, and I know people that have every one of these animals in some sort of captivity. Do I believe that they are a threat in their yard, barnyard, backyard to the public? No, I personally don't believe it is. Now, what this bill does is allows a system, a rules and regulations adopted, and a system to allow you to possess those animals. Folks, I've just given you the facts. So, and maybe we shouldn't even be allowed to possess them because actually they're property of the state. So we can have that discussion too. The permit, so you got to go through another regulatory loophole. Actually, the way we deal with permits a lot in this state is we have a general permit and then we have individual permits. I believe the rules and regulations, which we have a part in, we, and I certainly would if this actually goes into law, have a part in, is we would have a general permit. If this animal is contained, maintained within your control on your premise, you fall under a general category, we don't need to know about it, et cetera, et cetera. If, in fact, however, you are making this part of some kind of an exhibition or some kind of a interactive process where youth are coming through your farmstead and they're petting the goat and they're petting the thing, and then they walk by the skunk cage and they, you know, can push a few pebbles or something through to feed them, that's a little different, folks. That's when we probably do need to say, hey, wait a minute. We need to have a discussion about how this is working. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the bill. Skin it. Do whatever you like with it. that's the bill before you.
Chairman Zuanis or Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a whole bunch of questions, but we'll start with three and see where we go. So the testimony says if I go through the bureaucratic process and get a permit for my raccoon, let's say, that somehow prevents my raccoon from ever, A, getting rabies, or, B, transmitting rabies through that process. I don't think that's probably true. So my questions would be, A, is there going to be a cost that I have to go register my pet predator now, and what might that cost be? B, would there be stipulations on where I could take, it sounds like there are going to be, so I can get an approval to possess it if I don't let it out of my house or out of my yard possibly. I just don't understand the rules and regulatory framework that's going to be accompanied in this. And then my third question is, if I, because technically we have land in the state to the south and it has lots of all these fun animals that are kind of, for better, they may or may not be trapped inside of our place. I guess they could get up if they really wanted to. And I bring one of those into Wyoming, do I fall under this law? Does someone bringing a pet predator from another state into Wyoming have to register it in our state before they take it anywhere? And I just don't understand how all these processes are going to work. So if you could tell me why I have to go through a bureaucratic process to register an animal and if that's going to put a whole bunch of sideboards on what I can do with that, what might those be?
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things in teaching hunter safety, these animals that we have on this list on the amendment are classed as predatory animals, and the reason they're classed as predatory animals is there's no license needed to harvest any of these. So they're kind of in a category where you need to put them somewhere so anybody could go out and harvest these, shoot them. That was just something I wanted to... and stray cats are in the statute that we just took out. So that just makes that different. And the other thing is I have some friends that have had foxes and raccoons as pets, and I think the health issue was what has been explained to us, so that's good. But my question is, how do they get the permit from the Department of Agriculture? I think through the game wardens is what, you know, usually people go through, but that would just be a question.
Representative Barlow. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Barlow, the whip wants you to go now, and then he'll come back, because I think he's probably got something very wise to say.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't really want to raise a stink about this bill, but there's elements of it that I think are just are somewhat toxic in its odor, but... No, I'm in favor of the bill. I was going to lighten the atmosphere of this tense debate by telling a joke about the skunk, but you wouldn't want to hear it. It really stinks.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, Mr. Chairman, there is a question I really would have loved to ask you, but you're in the wrong location for me to ask you. I know that in a previous discussion on another bill, we had talked about the penalties for misdemeanors. I see here that we're at 1 year and $1,500. And if I'm not mistaken, penalties for misdemeanors normally stop at $1,000. I'm just wondering how we came to this particular fine and schedule. And I was just wanting to know some of that information. Thank you.
Representative Ackland.
You know, I think the bill is probably pretty useful. I'm not sure what all the genesis was. I'm guessing it's because of the disease factor. I think that the bill would be useful just in education to people to be watching out for rabies. We had an unusual case on our farm where a fox showed up. I see it's on the list, so I can talk about it. But a fox showed up and was acting like a pet dog or a cat. He just moved in and took ownership of the place, and I think I could have collared the thing. Well, we did a little study and found out that's an indication of rabies whenever you get strange tame behavior or whatever. So anyhow, I can see some value in this bill in education. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't see much value in this bill. I think what the sponsors need to do is bring us some statistics that would demonstrate that penned-up porcupines and jackrabbits and so forth are more prone to be carrying rabies than one out in the wild. I don't know, if I had a raccoon, in, which I used to have many, many moons ago, in a pen and have it there for a year, I don't know how it can get rabies unless, you know, there's some kind of overnight visitor or something that comes in. But, you know, if you're, they're penned up, they can't get rabies. So this getting a permit to hold one of these animals seems overkill. You know, we don't have a permit to carry a gun, but we have now we have a permit to have a raccoon. And I guess I don't know how we've gotten along this long without it, but it just doesn't seem to me this bill is worth dealing with.
Representative Blackburn.
Chairman, just wondering if, you know, my lifetime I've had just about everything but for a pet except a skunk. But I'm just wondering if we have any statistics on how many cases of rabies we've had from animals, how many animals have been infected, and or how many humans have been infected in the state of Wyoming. Thank you.
Representative Barlow.
All right, I've got a list of questions here, and I'll try to get through them. So there's questions about, you know, the prevention, basically. This is a prevention. This is about prevention. The one thing there is not, and this is why stray cats were taken out, there is not a vaccine approved in this country for wildlife species. There is for stray cats, and there is for equine, horses, and there is for canines, dogs, and there is for not wild, i.e. canids, domestic canids. So one of the things I think we need to keep in mind is if there was preventive measures you could take to prevent potential infection from natural exposure, this bill would be less necessary. Now, in other parts of the globe, they actually do have a methodology and a delivery system and a vaccine, an oral vaccine, that they use over broad areas to deal with this issue. And I'm talking about the old country. They deal with this, and because it's very real there. No vaccine. Second of all, this question about the rules. Folks, this is just like a lot of things we do. The rules process, we authorize an agency to go do rules. We have some oversight in that as they come through the management committee, and we review them to say, is this within the scope of what we wanted or not? Now, quite honestly, we could get rid of the permit issue. We could get rid of the rules and just say, you shouldn't possess these animals, period. And just leave it be at that. Because I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that is actually what statute says. You can't have ownership of these things. You might have some level of possession, but you can't have ownership of them because they are wildlife by statute. Let's see. I'm sorry. Flip my page over. There was a question about, so that's the rule. So there was a question about out of state coming into the state. There are two agencies that have authority over importation of animals. One of them is over domestic animals. That is a board of livestock. And it includes some non-livestock species, I might add. And then there's another agency that deals with the wildlife of this state, and they would have control over this. And to my knowledge, you cannot import out of state any of these species without permission. So you're not bringing something, coming from outside, you can't bring something new out from out of state, period. Because even if you brought them in, once they arrived here and they are indigenous to this country as well, they'd be considered wildlife, and in fact you can't own them anyway. So that's the permit issue, or that's the importation issue, the out of state issue. The permit issue, who, ladies and gentlemen, this is put under through the Department of Agriculture. Could those officers out in the field that wear orange red shirts be a part of this and visit with folks and have that? Sure they could. That would be part of the rule process if they chose to be a part of that. The fine, I can't answer the fine question. You know, the fines in this entire section that deals with agriculture are all contained in that 11.1.103. Whether it's a brand violation, all kinds of different violations, apiaries, i.e. bees, all kinds of different violations are rolled into that one place. So if that's an inappropriate place or we don't want to fine, let's get rid of it. The next question was, are these animals more prone to infection? And I guess I would argue that if in fact they're exposed and they have no way to get away, then they probably are more prone because they are in captivity. In the wild, they may be able to get away from a dumb or a furious rabid animal. Rabies comes in two forms as far as a manifestation. It comes in a dumb form, the obtunded animal that kind of stumbles around and acts like it's got a bit of a neurologic issue. And it comes in the furious form, and that's the aggressive, you know, foaming, all of that. So we have two different, there's generally characterized as two different forms. So are they more prone to infection? No, they're not more prone, but remembering there's no preventive for these animals except lack of exposure. That's the only thing that prevents it in these animals, is lack of exposure. And then I think the last question was, about how many animals, how many cases of this there have been in the state, and the range in skunks, and I can't get every species because the domestic species vary. You might have a horse, might have a cow, might have a couple every year or two, and then you might have two or three that are found to have it. I've actually turned in specimens that have come back as positives and had clients have to go through the prophylaxis because we both had our hands down the animal's mouth or whatever because we thought the animal was choking. So what do you do when you find something's choking? Well, you try to remove the blockage, right? Well, they weren't choking because something was blocking. They were choking because they had a neurologic condition. They couldn't breathe correctly and couldn't keep their tongue in their mouth, and they're having another issue. So I've had the pre-vaccination. My clients weren't as fortunate. So the 40 so we're in the range of 25 to 45 every year of skunks. And I'm just, skunks is the only one I can come off the top of my head, in that range every year for the last 10 years. And I can get more specific numbers, and I'd be glad to. Up or down, I can give you more specific numbers, and I apologize. They are in a pile somewhere back there, probably with my budget amendments, but it didn't make it to the desk. So anyway, so I think I addressed the questions. Any more discussion?
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we've probably covered most of the topics, but I just wanted to point out something to the floor that I, as a pet owner, am responsible for making sure my animals are vaccinated. And if I don't do that, animal control can come take them. It just seems to me that if somebody, in my opinion, is crazy enough to want a coyote for a pet, the least they can do is get the stupid thing vaccinated.
Any further discussion on Senate File 63? Chairman Zwan, turn in.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just one more. And if there's any testimony in committee, is this going to be if there's going to be a fee or if this is a one-time thing? If I have a coyote that lives 15 years, I just want to know, I just have to go get it bureaucratically signed off on once, and it's not like in consumer health where they have to come inspect it or something every 4 years, and it's an ongoing process. So it just kind of worries me if I have to pay a fee, or if I have to re-up every 3 to 5 or however many years of the animal's life.
Representative Barlow.
So, Mr. Chairman, thank you. You know, I guess I can't answer that question. That's part of the rulemaking process. But I would estimate that no, I really view this as a general permit for a particular group of folks that maintain something in an environment where they don't have exposure to the wild species, and a permit, an individual permit required for those folks who want to do something more interactive, if you will, with a caveat. One, there is not a vaccine that's appropriate for any of these wildlife species. And two, if this does give, the only authority this gives for denial of a permit is if there's a clear public health and safety concern. Now, we can modify, we can change, we can actually not worry about the living predator part of this bill and just kill the predator. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion on Senate File 63? Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Petroff's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 63 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no?
No.
Senate File 63 has failed the Committee of the Whole. Pursuant to the rule, pursuant to House Rule 6-6B, Senate File 63 having failed the... Oh, I'm sorry. We'll need to do the roll call vote. Or do we do the standing vote? All those in favor of Senate File 63, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. No. Oh, wait, hang on.
All vote aye.
Yeah. Chair votes aye, 27 to 26. The bill will go to second reading. So we got through that stinker. Representative Blake.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Please proceed.
I'm kind of foaming at the mouth after that one a little bit, but please welcome in the West Gallery. It's not often we have people come down from Rock Springs. They're here for the Realtors reception tonight. Joe and Mary Manitos, please welcome.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 31. The reading clerk will read the roll, or will read the bill.
Senate File 31 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to the administration of government, deleting requirements for reports from the Department of Health to the legislature as specified, requiring the department to provide reports from the department's internal performance measurement system, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 10. Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 31, Department of Health Reports-Cleanup, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 31 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I turn the explanation of the bill over to Representative Edmonds.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 31 is a cleanup bill. I don't know if it's sufficient to clean up the mess left from the last bill. I apologize for that. But what it does do, it deletes requirements from reports to the Department of Health to the legislature. To be more specific, there are 34 reports presently required by the legislature from the Department of Health. 12 of those are one-time reports, and they'll go away. Of the ones that remain, this bill would eliminate 14 of them. And on two of them, it also specifies that in lieu of a report, the Department of Health shall submit statistics and tracking information, which is an abbreviated form of this information. If anyone's interested in seeing this and how it compares to a lengthier report, we do have a book in back. It's called, I believe, Health Statistics 2014 Reports. That's what would replace these 14 reports that are no longer required in this bill. This was determined by Department of Health working with the LSO. So in the interest of parliamentary alacrity, I will not read these 14 reports' names unless requested.
Further discussion on Senate File 31? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 31 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Senate File 31 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 102. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 102 from Senator Landon, an act relating to Medicaid, providing that mental health services may be provided by mental health professionals holding a provisional license as specified, providing a definition, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 102, engrossed medical billing provisional providers, respectfully report saying back to the House for the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 102 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And just to get you acquainted with that Standing Committee Amendment, it's a grammatical error done by an old school teacher so that we didn't have providers providing. We had, it's just grammatical change. And with that, I would call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted, and we're back on the bill. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to turn the explanation of the bill over to one of the co-sponsors, Representative Kasperic.
Vice Chairman Kasperic.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 102 is a cleanup bill. About a year ago, we passed Senate File 89, which included licensed mental health professionals in Medicaid billing. What we failed to do at that time is to extend that same billing right to provisional providers who are working on your 3,000 hours towards licensure and work for the licensed mental health professionals under direct supervision. So what this bill does is extends that that Medicaid billing to the provisional mental health providers under the direct supervision of a licensed mental health provider. So unless there are any questions, I'd call for the question.
Is there any further discussion on Senate File 102? Seeing none, and the question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, they do so with the recommendation that Senate File 102 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Senate File 102 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 70. The reading clerk, as soon as he gets here back, will read the bill.
Nice to accommodate you.
Thank you for your service.
Senate File 70 from Senator Dockstader, an act relating to public utilities, amending notice requirements for cooperative electric utility rate increases and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 70, engrossed cooperative electric utility rate adjustment notice, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Chairman Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so the recommendation that Senate File 70 do pass. No standing committee amendments, and I would turn it over to the good co-sponsor of the bill, the Chairman of Agriculture.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very simple bill before you. Just a brief explanation. This bill was brought to us by a local public utilities. It also is a distributor of natural gas. And they came to us and said, you know, when we have a price decrease, we want to pass along. We have to advertise for 30 days
before we can do this. He says, so let's make a little common sense out of this and make this kind of consumer friendly. Let's just go ahead and change one word in this bill, which you'll see on page 1, line 15. We change adjustment to increase, which means they still have to give a notice of intent to increase, but they don't have to give a notice of intent to decrease it. Therefore, the consumers get an instant rebate on it, and they can pay for it. And, I mean, they don't have to pay for it for that extra 30 days. So with that in mind, I ask for your favorable consideration and stand for questions. Come on.
Any further debate on Senate File 70? Seeing none and the question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 70 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senate File 70 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 117. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 117 from Senator Bubat, an act relating to environmental quality, authorizing the operation of specified oil and gas exploration or production wells or activities following application for a construction permit and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman of Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 117, Air Quality Construction Permitting, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, and Walters, and is signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Vice Chairman Kasparic.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I recommend I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 117 do pass. I further move the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, and we'll dispense with that first. It finds a wayward may on page 3, line 8, and dispenses with it. So if there are no questions on the Standing Committee Amendment, I'd call for the question on that.
Seeing no debate on the Standing Committee Amendment, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill. Vice Chairman Kasparic.
Thank you. And I'll turn the explanation over the bill over to Representative Larson.
Vice Chairman Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks, Senate File 117 puts into statute some provisions that the DEQ has held in their rules and regulations for some period of time, and have desired to put it into statute just to reinforce the state's position if the EPA should ever encroach further on requirements for air quality standards. Currently, what they allow is if you were to drill a well in an area where there wasn't any electrical generation available to you, and the well, besides producing oil, produced enough gas that it could perhaps run a natural gas engine, that they would let you take that, use that natural gas and power your pumping unit, or perhaps supply the burner fuel for your heater treater, your free water knockout, or some of those other facilities that you might establish to produce the oil. The condition for that, though, is that it can't be a major source contributor, meaning that it can't produce over 100 tons of pollutants a year. It has to be a minor source contributor. And one of the benefits of being able to do that is if they held you to that, if they wouldn't let you use that gas as a resource, as a fuel gas to run the engine or to power some of your auxiliary facilities, then you would be required to flare the gas. And you would have to bring in a generator and produce electricity to run your pumping unit, which actually contributes in addition to the flaring. And so they, with the advances that we've made, they're able to do a lot more recapturing of this gas off the wellhead, off the casing, off the backside and are able to use that in a much more beneficial way. And so that's, in essence, is what this bill is doing. And it requires that they have to have their permit before they can. They can't just do that. They have to have a permit into the Department of Environmental Quality at least 90 days before a permit would have been issued. And then it states there that and it has to be within 90 days of the first date of production. And one of the, in addition to the new language, we identify what that first day of production is, so that that can't be misconstrued or taken advantage of. And yet we also define that if you are producing more than one zone, and those additional zones are completed and come into production later than the first, that first, the date that the first zone come into production is that initial date of production. So with that, I would stand for any questions.
Any discussion on Senate File 117? Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to point out a few important features. The basic rule in the Air Quality Division is that you have to have a permit before you emit anything into the air. The problem with oil and gas production facilities is it's a chicken and an egg issue. They don't know that they're going to have a facility that produces until after they've constructed it. So that's why this special carve-out is written for oil and gas production facilities. But the important thing to know is that it's completely protective of human health and the environment, and that's in this little phrase at the end of page 2, the last sentence. A demonstration that the applicant will apply best available control technology, that's standard air quality language, and it's required of everyone who owns any facility that emits air contaminants in the state of Wyoming, that they apply best available control technology. So it's really not any relaxation of the environmental standards, and it's entirely consistent with the permitting processes that the Department of Environmental Quality has followed since about 1997.
Any further discussion on Senate File 117? Seeing none in question being called, all those in favor of Vice Chairman Kasparek's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 117 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Senate File 117 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of changes for your general file. We will move Senate File 35 and 36, which are the next ones up, be above Senate File 106. So your next bill for consideration is Senate File 46, then Senate File 77, 94, Senate File 35, and 36, and that's my intentions of ending today on Senate File 36.
Thank you, Madam Leader. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 46. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 46 from Senator Geist, an act relating to crimes and offenses, revising provisions related to negligently burning grounds and failure to extinguish a fire, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman of Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 46, engrossed to fire misdemeanors, respectfully report same back to the House for the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Hunt, Yeagy, Larson, Lindholm, and McKim, signed by Representative McKim, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Chairman McKim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Senate File 46 and ask for your favorable consideration. And I'll turn the explanation of the bill over to Representative Lindholm.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 46, fire misdemeanors. This is cleaning up some language under the criminal code for negligently burning grounds and penalties. If you flip the page over and go over to page two, it's pretty quick and easy what we've done. We get rid of woods, prairies, or on line two and three. Also get rid of it on line seven. Get rid of it again on line 16. And for those portions, the reason we got rid of those is some county attorneys have had some problems in the past in a couple cases that were brought to us regarding being able to actually find somebody or press charges against somebody because of the way it's worded. When it says sets fire to any woods, prairie, or grounds, the situation they had was they actually had somebody that some kids had lit a car on fire, and that wasn't counted as woods or prairies, so they had an issue pressing charges under this statute. Under 63-106, we add in if he outside of normal agronomic or forestry practices, and that's to protect our ag folks that might be doing some burning of irrigation ditches, that kind of situation. That way, somebody doesn't get carried away and decide they want to press charges against a farmer. With that, I'll stand for questions on the bill.
Discussion on Senate File 46. Seeing no further discussion and question being called, all those in favor of Chairman McKim's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 46 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Senate File 46 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 77. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 77 from Senator Perkins, an act relating to restricted driver's license, modifying requirements relating to driving under the influence and the use of ignition interlock devices, amending the periods which during ignition interlock devices are required, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman of Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 77, Ignition Interlock License Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Kroon, Miller, and Pinnell. Those who voted no, Representatives Halverson, Croker, Pelkey, and Winters. Signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 77 do pass, and there are no amendments. And Chairman Zwanitzer is going to explain the bill.
Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you Senate File 77. It has to do with the alcohol interlock program that you put on your vehicles when you get cited for alcoholic driving. So this bill is a result of initiative to review the Wyoming alcohol interlock program that began back in July of 2012, and it culminated in a meeting in October of 2013 that involved people from the treatment facilities, the Attorney General's office, a lot of the law enforcement agencies, the Council on the Impaired Driving, and policymakers, and members of the executive branch. And this bill basically serves two purposes, and it is to tighten up the program that's already in place. So what we have done, and what one of the main problems with the program has been up to date, has been the fact that people have been able just to not use it. They go out and find other transportation, they walk to work or whatever, and they put in their 6 months, and then they come back and then they reapply for a license. So to solve that problem, what this bill does is says that you actually have to participate in the program for 6 months before you can get your driver's license back. They now have interlock systems that will have cameras on to make sure that it is you, the one that has been convicted, to make sure that you put in that time, that you show that you can drive a vehicle without alcohol content. And then the second part of the bill at the bottom of page two says if you don't make it through the program, then not only do you have to start again, but do you go to the second. If you start with the first, it's 6 months. So if you don't get through that, then you go to the second, which is a year. And so this one puts an extra 6 months on any a violation that you would have. And with that, I would stand for questions.
Vice Chairman Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to share my concern with this bill, and I guess that's the issue, that I don't see it as a problem if somebody just chooses to wait the time out and not drive. If the penalty is that they're not supposed to drive without an interlock device for 6 months, and they just make the decision that they can't afford the interlock device and instead are just going to choose not to drive for 6 months, that should be sufficient penalty right there. Not saying, well, even if they do that, they're still required to get the interlock device for the next 6 months. So I agree in principle with what this bill is trying to do, but I really don't feel comfortable telling somebody that just not driving is not sufficient. It keeps them off the roads for 6 months, you know, which is what the penalty was. So that's my concern with this bill.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I always thought the reason to have the interlock device was in lieu of suspending their license, was really to give somebody the opportunity, even though they messed up, though, to still be able to go to work and get their paycheck and go home and take care of their family. And that was my mind what the benefit of doing that was. The benefit of paying the extra fee was, instead of losing my license, I can drive. I have to prove that I'm driving sober and that I get to go ahead and continue with my job and get to work. This, to me, like the last speaker said, doesn't make sense. If I decide to go ahead and wait out the 6 months and not drive and have my license suspended, now I come back and endure another punishment of having to do this. And maybe I'm missing something in this because I wasn't in the committee meeting, but those are kind of my comments on it.
Chairman Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to the fine speakers who spoke before me, this came to our committee a couple 3 years ago, and I did not participate this year in the discussion. So everything I'm about to tell you is some memory from a couple of years ago. As I understand the problem, these are court-ordered issues that you will participate in this program for 6 months, and then once you accomplish this program, then we'll give you back your regular driver's license. So what people are doing are saying yes, and then they just don't drive, and they just hold out and wait 6 months. What this bill here says, if you've been ordered to do that, you have to go in, participate in the program, prove that you've been in the program. Once you're through the program, then you're off the hook, and you can get your driver's license back. It also has a second part that says you're going to get hit pretty hard if you mess up, because we want to keep the folks that like to drink a lot of alcohol off the roads, and that is the whole purpose of this program. As of 2 years ago, and I don't know the latest statistics, but 2 years ago, I wrote down in my notes that there was about 1,300 people on this program, and I'm not sure if it's gone up or down, but there are a lot of people on, and we do want to do everything we can to keep people that are on alcohol off the roads. And so that's the purpose of this bill.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just some more information on the bill. There's 1,270 people that are using the interlock devices right now. There's 1,170 people that have chosen not to get the interlock devices. So they're not driving for a period of time, or if they're driving, they're driving illegally and could be subject to whatever fines happen then. If we pass this bill, what this does, if that person chooses not to get an interlock device and goes a year or two or three or five, after that period of time, they still have to go 6 months or a year with this interlock device, regardless of how long they haven't driven. So, this is a policy shift here. Vote the way you want, but I've got some concerns with the bill.
Any further discussion? Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want you to note that it was a 5-4 decision out of Judiciary, so this was not something that passed through unanimously, but the other thing, too, is there has been some discussion that they could illegally drive without the device, and the truth is they can illegally drive even with the device. They can borrow a friend's car. That's not going to change. And I think that all this does is it tightens down and adds another fine on top of some things that I think will force people to pay money to a company. But as far as actually helping the issue, I don't see that it could actually do that.
Any further discussion? Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I heard the discussion on this, and in the end I ended up supporting the bill because, in my mind, you know, if the fee for this is going to be $80 a month and you're talking about 6 months of having this device on your vehicle, that's the price of the crime. I mean, you drove drunk. You put everybody out there on the roads at risk of anything that might happen. And so for me, you know, I mean, to say that, well, this is $80 more they're going to have to pay. Well, yeah, it is. They drove drunk and got caught.
Any further discussion on Senate File 77? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just very quickly, this in committee, we were told that these suggestions came to us from a national group in charge of transportation safety. These are not national mandates, but in a review of our interlock processes revealed this one weak spot. So that's why it was brought to our attention. It is designed to change behavior. But one of the reasons I did not support this in committee was the people that this is attempting to get into the interlock system are the people that have changed their behavior. They don't drive for 6 months or however long they're not supposed to be driving, and this only kicks in when their driving privileges are returned. So I would urge your no vote on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm rising in opposition to this bill. You know, I know lots of folks who can't afford to go through the interlock system. So they either have their spouse or they walk to work. And these are folks that are making minimum wage. They're working 20 or 30 hours a week, the only jobs they can find. And what we're doing, essentially, is extending the probationary period and the period in time that they can be actively engaged in society and afford to do what they do. And, you know, if you think about it, if you're making $800, $700 a month, and that's the only job you have, in addition to the other fines that come along with the conviction of these things, you've got fines, you've got used to restitutions. But there's lots of other things you got to pay for. You got to go through a victim's comp classes. I mean, there's all kinds of added expense to a DUI that you get that are on top of all of this. And so, literally, it's almost impossible for some of those folks to be able to go out make a living, live on their own, and get around. And so this is, and now we're just extending that out another 6 months beyond what anyone else have to do if they just choose not to drive. And so for their good conduct, literally by not driving and staying sober, we're penalizing them. It says, oh, by the way, you're going to have to pay this this company another 1,200 more folks are going to have to pay this company an extra 6 months, and all we're doing is subsidizing the company and adding additional expense that they, if they can't incur, we're just extending it for them. So on and against the bill.
Any further discussion on Senate File 77? Chairman Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of times your driver's license gets suspended. And this is a mechanism that will let you drive and get to work and do it legally. They always tell you, hey, listen, guys, you know, I'm not going to do it again. I am not going to do it again. If you're not going to do it again, get on this program, show them that you're not going to do, drive it legally, and get your license back in 6 months. So sometimes driver's licenses are suspended longer than that. So I think this is a good program. A lot of times the court order that you go on this program, and a lot of them just simply avoid it and say, well, I don't have to worry about it because I'm just going to go do the streets, and in 6 months I'll go in and say my time's up. So this the reason this bill was brought is to make sure it happens, and if you really want to get your driver's license back, you do this program and you do it like it's supposed to. And with that, I would ask for your aye vote.
Any further discussion? Seeing none in question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Miller's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 77 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 77 has failed a voice vote, and pursuant to rule House Rule 6-6B, a standing division vote is required. All those in favor of the bill, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. More than 16. Having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger. Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Clem,
no. Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
no.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
no.
Greer,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker, Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton excused. Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers. Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes?
No.
Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 16 aye, 43 no, 1 excused.
Pursuant to House Rule 6-6B, Senate File 77, having failed a roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 94. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 94 from Senator Christensen, an act relating to driving or having control of a vehicle while under the influence of intoxicating liquor or controlled substances, authorizing non-residents to receive a substance abuse evaluation from their state of residence as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman of Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 94, Substance Abuse Assessments for Non-Residents, respectfully report sending back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Esquivel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, and Winters, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 94 do pass, and Chairman Petroff will explain the bill.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have subtitled this bill, Arrive on Vacation, Go Home on Probation. This bill has to deal with the DUI statutes, and the only change is on page 2. And what we're doing is basically saying there are several times in this subsection where we're saying that substance abuse assessments need to be done by providers who are certified by the Department of Health pursuant to, and it lists the statute. And so what we're trying to do is to say if somebody gets a DUI in Wyoming, but they live someplace else, that they can get the substance abuse assessments from a provider certified by that person's state of residence. And so even though this might be prohibitive for tourism, we still think it's a good bill, and I would stand for any questions.
Any discussion on Senate File 94, the Vacation Probation Bill? Seeing none in the question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Miller's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 94 do pass, please signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no. Senate File 94 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration will be Senate File 35. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 35 in the Corporations Committee, an act relating to consumer protection, specifying notice requirements to consumers affected by breaches of personal identifying information, providing exceptions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 35 and Grow Security Breach Notification, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Danswanitzer, signed by Representative Danswanitzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Chairman Zwanitzer Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move in the Committee of the Whole rise to report to do so with the recommendation that Senate File 35 do pass. I do not believe there are any standing committee amendments, but would turn over management of the bill to the to Representative Summers.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. During this last interim, I served on the Data Security Task Force, and this is one of those privacy bills that we brought forth through the Corporations Committee, and then they were approved to the House. So this is Senate File 35, Security Breach Notification. And basically, it goes into 40-12-502, Computer Security Breach Notice to Affected Persons. And I'm going to read to you from subsection A of that title. And it basically says, an individual or commercial entity that conducts business in Wyoming and that owns or licenses computerized data that includes personal identifying information about a resident of Wyoming shall, when it becomes aware of a breach of the security of the system, conduct in good faith a reasonable and prompt investigation to determine the likelihood that the personal identifying information has been or will be misused. If the investigation determines that the misuse of personal identifying information about a Wyoming resident has occurred or is reasonably likely to occur, the individual or the commercial entity shall give notice as soon as possible to the affected Wyoming resident. And so if we jump to subsection E, and that will be on page 2 of your bill, I'm going to read to you what's currently in statute. So what you're seeing here is new Romanets 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. What I'm going to read to you is what the current law, what it currently says in statute, and probably give you an idea why we think it needs to be beefed up a little. So E says, notice required under subsection A of this section shall include Romanet I, a toll-free number. And basically that's it. I mean, it has a subsection A and B, but it's a toll-free number. And we didn't feel like that was sufficient. And so what we're going in and doing is increasing that. And so in E we amend, so it says notice required under subsection A of this section shall be clear and conspicuous and shall include a minimum, subsection, and then Romanet 2, the types of personal identifying information that were or reasonably believed to have been the subject of the breach. So what type of information was it? 3, a general description of the breach incident. 4, approximate date of the breach. 5, in general terms, the action taken by the individual or commercial entity to protect the system containing the personal identifying information from further breaches. 6, advice that directs the person to remain vigilant by reviewing account statements and monitoring credit reports. And 7, whether notification was delayed as a result of a law enforcement investigation if that information is reasonably possible to determine at the time the notice is provided. And then subsection H is just a carve out for HIPAA. And so basically that's the bill, and if there are any questions, I will attempt to answer them. Thank you.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think as my good colleague on the Privacy Task Force explained, our current law is pretty weak in this department. We've all heard stories of data breaches, and there are times when you need a specific state process to ensure that the consumer is protected. This bill was worked a lot over the interim and, you know, worked with the industry and the folks involved in this issue, and really believe that it adds a lot of good protection for our Wyoming consumers. And we'd be happy to answer any questions if we can.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I do have a question on page 2, Romanet 3, and I'm just wondering what additional that adds or what additional information you're trying to get at, because you've already required descriptions of what information was obtained, when it was obtained, and so I'm not sure what other general description you're supposed to include, and if you could just maybe share a little bit more what was intended by that provision.
Further discussion? Representative Summers?
Mr. Chairman, it's been a long time since we reviewed this, but my general belief, it was the description of the breach incident. So the first thing is talking about what information was subject to the breach, but three is more like what was the description of the breach incident. In other words, how did it happen, in what form did it take place? And I assume it could just inform the public on generally what they may need to look out for. You know, that's was the intent.
Further discussion? Seeing no further discussion and question being called, all those in favor of Representative Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report and do so with the recommendation that Senate File 35 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senate File 35 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 36. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 36 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to crimes and offenses and consumer protection, amending definitions relating to personal identifying information and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 36 engrossed, Personal Identifying Information-Definitions, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Chairman Zwanitzer Dan, for your 11th time today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good to see you again, too. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 36 do pass. There is a standing committee amendment, which will be handled by the good Minority Floor Leader.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 36 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is really just a pretty simple cleanup amendment, so I think it would be easier to take care of it and then walk through the bill. So the Standing Committee Amendment is on page 4, line 16, and it eliminates either the name or and refers just to the data elements, because that's part of the name is included in the data elements.
There further discussion on the Standing Committee Amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is yet another bill from your hardworking Digital Privacy Task Force. And it's fairly ironic that I'm on that committee because I'm kind of a low-tech person, but I'm learning a lot. In any event, Mr. Chairman, as part of our work this summer, we discovered that we had some inconsistent definitions and outdated definitions for the important phrase of personal identifying information. So the heart of the bill goes into Title VI, which is where the definition already existed, and basically updates that definition to deal with, you know, a lot of the concerns we have today. It's a slightly broader definition. We spent a lot of time on this, tried to pull in technical elements in a way that would last into the future, as so that this is a definition that can apply in all circumstances. And then, so the heart of the bill is pages 2 and 3 with assorted elements that are included in personal identifying information. And then in the on page 4 where we just amended, basically the Title 40, which is the location of the language for the last bill, we have to cross-reference the new definition of personal identifying information so that we have a consistent definition across the statutes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion? Seeing none and question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 36 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Senate File 36 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just found 100 more bills I wanted to give for you to work today.
Yay. No objections. So ordered.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Motion carries. The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Chairman, our Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg to leave report as follows. Senate File 20, recommended do pass. Senate File 10, recommended do pass. Senate File 37, recommended do pass. Senate File 64, recommended do pass. Senate File 33... amended and further amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 38, recommended do pass. Senate File 23, recommended do pass. Senate Joint Resolution 2, amended as follows, recommended do pass. Senate File 12, amended. And... recommended do pass. Representative Berger moved that the House rise and sit again. Senate File 60, recommended do pass. Senate File 25, recommended do pass. Senate File 6, recommended do pass. Senate File 34, recommended do pass. Senate File 63, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 31, recommended do pass. Senate File 102, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 70, recommended do pass. Senate File 117, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 46, recommended do pass. Senate File 77, following a failed roll call, the bill is deemed indefinitely postponed. Senate File 94, recommended do pass. Senate File 35, recommended do pass. Senate File 36, amended, recommended do pass. Signed by Representative Crone, Chairman.
Representative Crone.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole Report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Congratulations. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 250. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 60, Trust Company Amendments, Ayes 30, No 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 251. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 115, Vehicle Registration Timing, Ayes 25, No 5, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 252. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 74, Front License Plate Requirement, Ayes 24, No 6, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 253. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 135, Lifetime Archery Licenses, Ayes 23, No 7, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 254, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 104, Big and Trophy Game Licenses, Reservation. The House bill listed below passed on third reading in amended form. Ayes 29, No 1. The Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 255, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 74, Front License Plate Requirement. The House bill listed below passed on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 24, No 6. The Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 120, Engrossed, Uniform Interstate Family Support Act, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation under due pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobar, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, Winters, one no vote, Representative Halverson, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 24, Engrossed, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority Amendments, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stepson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 27, Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 30, Engrossed, Camp Guernsey Range Management Fund, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, and Stubson, one no vote, Representative Nicholas, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom it referred, Senate File 42, Engrossed, Task Force on Mineral Taxes, respectfully report saying back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 45, Digital Information Privacy Task Force Reappropriation, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 81, ENG engrossed, Kevin Salal, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 29, engrossed, Motor Vehicle Driver's License Exceptions, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, and Walters. Those who voted no, Representative Laux, Reeder, and Daves Wannitzer, signed by Representative Daves Wannitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 84, Enhanced Recovery, Carbon Dioxide Certification, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, and Walters, excused, Representative Summers, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Conference Committee on Senate File 5 will be Petroff, Chair, Barlow, and Eklund. Conference Committee on Senate File 13 will be Croker, Chair, Nicholas, and Pennell. Conference Committee on House Bill 22 will be Zwanitzer, Dave, Chair, Walters, and Pennell. And Conference Committee on House Joint Resolution 3 will be McKim, Chair, and Hunt and Lindholm. Committee announcements.
Yeah.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I make a motion to re-refer Senate File Number 4 to your Committee Number 2, Appropriations. This is the dry bean research bill.
Senate File 4 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2. Committee announcements. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 2 will meet in approximately 10 minutes in Room 204 to consider Committee Bills, Senate File 58, State Park Officers Benefits, and Senate File 59, Wyoming Public Television Endowment Accounts. Thank you.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will be meeting tomorrow morning, Thursday, February 19th, 8 a.m. in Room H10 to hear Senate File 44, Large Project Funding.
Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow upon noon recess in Room 302 to hear Senate File 54, Election Code Revisions, and Senate File 43, the Wyoming Telecommunication Act Rewrite.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 8, Transportation, will meet tomorrow, 10 minutes after adjournment, to hear the two bills, Senate File 97, Department of Transportation, Communications Facilities, and Senate File 95, Speed Limits.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet at 8 o'clock in Room H18 on Friday, and will consider the following Senate files. Standing Savings and Loan Associations, and Resident Contractor Material Preference.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources, will meet tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. in H11 to consider the following bills, Senate File 51, Water Development Amendments, Senate File 55, the Omnibus Water Bill Planning, and Agriculture is always up to the task.
Vice Chairman Northrop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet upon adjournment, actually at about 4:15 in room H10. We will hear Senate File 57, School Facilities Appropriations, Senate File 98, School Athletic Safety, and Senate File 101, Veterans In-State Tuition.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 10, Labor, will meet in 10 minutes to consider Senate File 62, Oral Chemotherapy Parity, Senate File 119, Hospice Respite Care, and House Bill 1000, How to Outmaneuver the Appropriations Committee on Third Reading of the Budget Amendment, of the Budget Bill.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, Judiciary Number 1, will meet tomorrow at 8 a.m., Room H8, to consider the following bills, Senate File 18, Senate File 73, and Senate File 75.
Representative Blake. Cowgirls. Madam Majority Floor Leader, that clears the deck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your general file for tomorrow, February 19th, is Senate File 106, 103, 29, 137, 84, 111, 120, 81, 82, 93, 24, 27, 30, 42, and 45. Of course, that's following third reading of the budget. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until 9 a.m. February 19th, 2015.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We're adjourned until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.